Hey, this is Kari Payton. I'm Cyborg from Teen Titans and Injustice and Injustice 2. And you're listening to The Night Nerd. So keep listening. Booyah!
Welcome to the Night Nerd Podcast. I'm Rose Lance. It's Wednesday, so we're going to talk some comic books. We've been looking at dreams all week. Last week was Daylight Savings Time, and everyone missed out on sleep and dreams, and it's rough. I'm still recovering. I mean, here we are halfway through the next week, and blah, 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 blah. That's a scientific term. You can quote me on that. But we've been looking at, you know, some good dreams, some cool examples of dreams, and today is no different. We're going to look at some of the best dream sequences in comic books. Much like TV, comics use the dream a little too often. Of, oh, it was a dream. Oh, haha, it's just a dream. But these are going to be some pretty solid examples. I really enjoy all of them, so let's just go ahead and dive right into them. Number 5 is going to be Spider-Man One More Day. So this was a whole big thing that came out back in about 10 years ago, actually. It ended in January of 2008. And it was basically what it was is Spider-Man makes a deal with Mephisto to kind of get his secret identity back and get Aunt May back, just to do all this stuff. And as part of it, he has to give up his marriage with Mary Jane. And it's, to this day, a lot of people hated it. And at the where the dream part comes in is they brought it into the newspaper strip, because Spider-Man still has a newspaper strip. And people just hated it so much that the newspaper strip actually went in and was like, oh, no, this whole part was just a dream. And they're still happily married, and you don't have to worry about it. And that's it. And the comics probably should have done that sooner rather than later, but we'll see. The fact that, like I said, it's on this list because they actually listened to the readers and used it as a cool thing. Number 4 is going to be Marvel Knights the Punisher number 8 back in 2002. So Ron Zimmerman and Mike Lilley were on the title back then. And Frank Castle gets this crazy idea that he's going to go back in time and kill Al Capone. And when he does that, you know, that's going to keep organized crime from happening. And with no organized crime, his family lives, etc., etc. Everybody's happy. So he goes and he talks to Reed Richards, and he goes back in time, and he kills Al Capone. And then he wakes up and realizes, no, it was a dream. Some people point this out as comical and too over the top. I feel like they've never read The Punisher, because almost all of his stuff is over the top and ridiculous, and so I don't see any problem with that. I don't have any problem with it. It's what it is. And on paper, you know, it's a solid idea. You go back in time and keep crime from happening. Yeah, that should work perfectly. I would, you know, you've done everything else with Punisher. You've made him War Machine. You've made him an angel. You've made him Frankenstein. You've put him in space. You've done everything, so why not make him a time traveler out there, you know, hunting bounties and trying to set things right, only to find out, you know, something doesn't happen. I'd read that series. I think it should totally go down, but we'll see. But yeah, going back and killing Al Capone, I think it's a pretty cool story, but one that the ramifications were probably too big for it to not be a dream. Number 3 is going to be Tom Strong, issues 29 and 30. The Terrible Life of Tom Strong, Part 1 and 2, written by Ed Brubaker with art by Duncan Fegredo. This is a really cool... If you don't read Tom Strong, it's it's a solid book. Its pedigree, I mean, created by Alan Moore, but as it would go on, other phenomenal people. Excuse me, sorry. Jeff Johns, Brian K. Vaughan, Ed Brubaker, Joe Casey, Peter Hogan, all these people. And actually, he's showing up in The Terrifics now, so you should check it out. But anyway, 29 and 30. So Tom Strong is fighting this crazy scientist, because that's what Tom Strong does. And he kind of loses, and he gets trapped in Pleasantville, like this black and white, boring place, and he doesn't have superpowers, and it's just super mundane, and that's actually how he realizes it's a dream, is because there's no hope, there's no excitement, there's no anything, and it's rough, and he breaks out of it, and wakes up and saves the day. But it's a solid read, you know. It uses the dream thing as a way to kind of tongue-in-cheek look at superhero comics and their fiction and how everything happens, stuff that people like Moore and Miller have done in the past. It's really, really great, and I've only recently gotten into Tom Strong, I'll be completely honest, but this was a highlight, and it was really good. You should check it out. Number two is going to be Batman RIP, because we'd find out it doesn't stand for Rest in Peace, it's Rotten Purgatory. This is during Grant Morrison's run, and Dr. Hurt and the Black Glove decide to take down Batman, and they do, and they beat him, and he wakes up with no memory of who he is or what's going on, and he becomes, after this homeless man who may or may not be dead, actually he is dead, and kind of a day with him, and then realizing that he wasn't there snaps Bruce Wayne. He becomes the Batman of Zur-En-Arr. Oh yeah. And this is a throwback to some Silver Age stories where Batman had the rainbow outfit and everything. And basically what he does is just takes all of the old continuity and puts it in Batman's head. So, like, Batmite is showing up, the Bat Radio, all these things. And it was really cool of Morrison to, you know, acknowledge where Batman came from and what was going on. I mean, some of these stories that he referenced are super, super old. I mean, we're talking like from the 40s and things, and he did his research. But, you know, a lot of people didn't know what the story was going to be about. They thought Batman was going to die. Morrison was like, no, this is a fate way worse than death, and I have some cool stuff planned. And he did, and it's a really, really solid story. He had Tony Daniel on art, Alex Ross on covers. It's beautiful on every level. If you enjoy Morrison's work or Batman, you should definitely check it out. And speaking of Morrison, our number one, the number one best use of a dream sequence has got to be when he was on Animal Man. Animal Man started to get super crazy fourth wall, and not in the way that Deadpool does fourth wall, but just actually Animal Man coming to the realization that he is, you know, a creation, and he's part of a comic, and it in, you know, Grant Morrison just put him through the ringer with all sorts of things. And by the end of it, Animal Man is begging Grant Morrison to make it all just a dream. And he did. And I think that is hands down the best use of dreams in comics, because you have the character himself asking to be a trope. This character, you know, wanting it to be something cheesy and corny. I mean, not even cheesy, but just, oh, it was all a dream. And the writer allows it. And that, to me, is so much better than just the writer doing it. The way the writer, you know, I mean, he still just did it, but the way it went down is beautiful and so smart, and Grant Morrison is such a master craftsman that it's absolutely wonderful. But there you have it. Those are our top five uses of dreams in video games. Let us know what are some of your favorites. You know, what do we need to not sleep on and go out and read? You can let us know in the comments below here on SoundCloud or on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We're out there. We're also on YouTube. Just look for The Night Nerd. We love hearing from everybody. And make sure that you like and subscribe on whatever medium you're listening on. That way you can get all the updates from The Night Nerd and the whole network, including DC Animated Adventures and Blah Blah Comics, Blah Blah Curse Words. Lots of good things going on out there. But if you just want to talk to me directly, you know, not on social media, you can email me, nightnerd@thenightnerd.com. I respond to all those. I love hearing from you. And if you love us, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/thenightnerd. For a couple bucks a month, you can get all sorts of cool things. It's a lot of fun. We have fun doing it, and everybody seems to have fun listening. So make sure you check that out. But that's going to be it for us today. Again, I'm Lance. Thank you all so much for listening, and we will see you next time.